Good morning.
Good morning.
Must be colder flu season. A lot of people gone this morning. Pray for those who are sick and those who are going to be sick. And we're starting a four-part series for this month. And then try to come back tonight. I have a lesson titled Five Signs of a False Teacher. I think you'll enjoy it. In the verses that Doug Zimmerman read, it was the year 67 AD, and Paul wrote Timothy from a Roman prison while awaiting death row. And he had that because he was preaching the gospel. He was sharing the word. And in that, he was told to do the work of an evangelist. In 2 Timothy 1:8, the background of this, Paul says, "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God." He didn't commit a crime against God, but rather he was in prison for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Roman government locked him up. And because of his fervor toward the gospel of Jesus, he would be put to death by having his head sawed off. In 2 Timothy 4:6 through 8, in closing, he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give to me on that day, and not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing." He had a special relationship with Timothy. You know, he was involved in three generations of conversions of that family. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "For I am mindful of the sincere faith which is in you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well." Paul's impending execution. During this time, he wanted to give Timothy some inspiration. He wanted to help him to carry on. He reached out to encourage his protege to carry on in the work of the evangelist, to fulfill his ministry. And this involved several tasks, including preaching the word, reproving, rebuking, exhorting. Being an evangelist involves a broad array of responsibilities for those in the past and even today. On Sunday, February 26th, it'll be my last Sunday as the evangelist here at Camp Hill. And I will go on to a comparable position at New Road Church of Christ in Waco, Texas. Now, I have had many members ask me, "What are we going to do without you being the minister here? Are we going to get another preacher?" Well, when I accepted the position 15 years ago, it was never with the intention of creating a vacuum in any way. My presence in this congregation, just like yours, is at best temporary. We're all going to go away. Even you young ones, someday, you know, you just got baptized last night, Jacob. You have that new Christian smell. That'll go away. That'll go away. And someday you'll have the old Christian smell. Unlike a nursing home smell, but it's just that of maturity. And you're going to go to your grave. And whatever you accomplish in this life, whatever legacy you leave, that's it. All of us are temporary at best. We will all be replaced by someone at some time in our life, either through relocation, promotion, death. All those things will take us out. Well, last Sunday, it was announced by the elders that they have decided for the time being to enlist a group of men from the congregation to fill the responsibilities of the pulpit on Sunday mornings. And we've been blessed to be in a congregation where we have men who can do that. But you know, with that in mind, the fear of the challenge that awaits you, I would like to challenge you in the closing days to do the work of an evangelist. I'm going to take you through a four-part series titled The Classified Sermons. You'll see why in a moment. I'm going to invite you into the world of being a preacher at Camp Hill and help you, encourage you to do the work of this evangelist. Whether or not you choose to hire another man, I want you to replace anything good that I have done that may not be done after I leave. I'll do this by covering four phases of my job. This morning, I'll cover evangelism, then education, encouragement, and equipping. So let us begin. Evangelism, the number one priority of the work of an evangelist. Okay, go ahead, click that, Tim. All right, now think. Evangelism. That's the number one thing that it's supposed to do. What is evangelism? It's spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, through his death, burial, and resurrection from the tomb. Paul reminded Timothy of this very thing in 2 Timothy 2 verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel. Don't you forget your responsibility with the gospel. And in this, it's that message that Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality of light through the gospel, 2 Timothy 1:10. Now, if an accountant does not give an accounting of the funds, then is he an accountant? No. If a judge does not make judgments, then is he still a judge? No. What about a fisherman who doesn't fish? Is he still a fisherman? No. So if an evangelist does not evangelize, then is he still an evangelist? No. And so this is the top priority of an evangelist. And so let's cover evangelism. There is personal evangelism. Personal evangelism. There is one-on-one studies with the lost. We have a beautiful example of this from the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 30 and 31. It says, Philip ran up to him. Who is the him? The Ethiopian eunuch, who was studying the scroll of Isaiah. He was reading Isaiah the prophet, and he said, Do you understand what you're reading? For those of you from the King James, understandest thou what thou readest? That's why I'll just do the NAS. Do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, Well, how could I unless if someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And from there, Philip had a one-on-one Bible study that resulted in the conversion of the eunuch. Philip personally studied with the treasurer of the nation of Ethiopia, and from there the church went on to be planted in Ethiopia. Now, what happens to a church family when this area is overlooked? I would like to think that I kept this part of my job over the years at Camp Hill. If I haven't, then please tell me that I haven't. But I feel that I put this on the front burner. There is an opening now for this work of the evangelist here. The work of an evangelist, this is the least important part of it. Coming up here on Sunday and doing a lesson. When I was growing up, actually I had turned about 18, and we used to have a system in Iowa. There was what was called job service. And you'd be able to go down, and they had this big board, and they just, this is before the internet. There was a life before the internet. There really was. There were actually, you know, before there were cell phones, there were phones that you had big old push buttons. And before that, there were rotaries. And before that, a phone that Don Pownell used where you cranked. Okay, and you asked for Jenny on extension 1 or something. Okay, before the internet, you just had big old ads put up on positions open. So at the back of the church, there are seven of these jobs that are open. The elders are looking for some people to fill these responsibilities. Here's the first one. Position open, personal teacher of the gospel. Personal teacher of the gospel. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is in search of people willing to personally study the gospel with others for the purpose of their conversion. The position involves a passion for the lost, knowledge of the gospel, and zeal to communicate it to others. You have one of those sheets on the back. If you have an interest in carrying out that responsibility, you really need to go put your name on the list. And the elders will work with you. You have to. You absolutely must pick up that responsibility. You cannot allow them just to have it through osmosis. It's not going to work. Then there's follow-up with new converts. You have the initial follow-up. You have to ground them in the elementary principles. Hebrews says in 5 verse 12, "For by this time you ought to be teachers, but you have need again that someone teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God and have come to need milk and not solid food." There are elementary teachings that you have to be grounded in. You know, when Jesus tells of the parable of the sower of the seed, there were four different types of seeds. And one of them, they were not grounded. They did not find root. And the sun came and baked them out. And the plant died. You could have a new Christian, and if there's nobody there to follow up and to teach them a foundation in which to build their life upon, they're not going to make it. They're simply not going to make it. It's important for a new convert to receive grounding in the elementary teachings of the scripture. Without it, you're just leaving a babe to die. There's a job opening on the back of the board there. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is looking for men and women in the church to ground new converts in the elementary teachings of Christ. You must have a passion to commit the time, patience, and love to these babes in Christ. You must be mature. Please contact the elders if you have an interest in this position. Notice I say the men and the women. For all you women out there who say, "Well, we kind of get ripped off here," the best person to ground a woman in the scriptures is a mature woman. That's the best person. You know, we have some mature women here. Jane, Patrick, you're mature, right? Can't answer, though, because you got to be silent. Anyway, Faynell. Faynell's well grounded. We have a lot of very great women who are very grounded. And when you have a brand new convert in Christ who is a young woman, you need to assume that responsibility, as it says in Titus, that the elder women are to teach the younger women. And the older men are to teach the younger men. You know, and Jacob is blessed enough that he's raised in a Christian family, but the fact is he's your brother in Christ too. And you need to be following up with him. And I told Jason last night, I think in the Greek, punchuos, it says that, that's just a made up word, by the way. Ed's saying, I don't remember that word, but I said, if Jacob gets out of line, now you have the right to punch him in the arm if he gets out of line. But no, we all have the responsibility to help ground young Christians. We have to do it. You don't want it a revolving door where they come into the body of Christ and then just go out that door. You don't want that. That is a waste of a human soul. And that's not what God wants. So that position's open. There are seven slots under each of these. And you have to write down where that is. And these are going to accumulate until the end of the series. And I hope that, you know, some names are put up there to assume some of these responsibilities. You have to let the elders know, because they've chosen a path for now to not have a hired evangelist at least for the pulpit side of it. And so you're going to have to assume the responsibility. If you don't, ministries die. They will die. And every ministry has a lifespan. Some ministries might need to die to start new ones. But every single one of these, I'm not going to be here to do this. You have to be. Then you have part of evangelism, which is called mission work. It's the mission. In Acts 1:8, you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, from Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. We must be, being an evangelist means you have to hold a world view of the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ was designed by the creator of the universe to drop into any culture at any time and be just as effective in saving souls as it was back then. In the same way a new Christian he is immersed into Christ, it's the same teaching. Imagine all the things that changed in 2,000 years. That's a lot. But yet, it's the same gospel that we're preaching. And with that versatility, we have a tendency to think that, well, the Church of Christ is an American thing. Or the Church of Christ is... No. Christ's church is worldwide. And if you go over to Ghana or you go to different cultures, they may do things just a little bit differently, but the pattern is the same. It's the exact same. And so you have to present, you know, if God created the heavens and the earth, then the gospel is worldwide. And we must never lose that perspective. There's foreign evangelism. Evangelism done in alien environments. An evangelist must be willing to participate in a foreign mission field with people who are radically different than themselves. Jesus instructed this in his closing words before ascending into heaven. He said in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of every nation. In Mark 16:15, he says unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. We have a worldwide perspective that has to be addressed. Always. And it's up to the evangelist to make sure they're always pushing that. An evangelist can't really be an evangelist if they say, okay, this is the only area that ever needs to be addressed. An evangelist must be willing to invest some time in the promotion of the gospel to the furthest reaches of the earth. Now, he is someone who helps the congregation hang on to that vision of a worldwide gospel. Now, I hope I have addressed this area well. I have a confession to make. I do not like food poisoning. I do not like malaria. I actually really don't like traveling in a plane jammed in like a sardine till my back hurts really bad. I don't like that. I like being at home. I love my ceiling fan. I like watching Fox News at certain times. I like my coffee maker. I like my cats. You know, I don't like traveling to places that make me feel uncomfortable. But what I do like doing is going to these places and sharing the gospel. That makes it worth everything. With that in mind, though, I have tried my best to try to always have you hold to a worldview of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a position open here, too. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is looking for men and women who are willing to go to the foreign mission fields with the gospel of Jesus Christ on short and long-term missions. Duties include setting up missions, fundraising, and making reports for the congregation. If interested, contact the Deacon of Missions or the elders. And that's Don Pownell is the Deacon of Missions. You know, Don, you said to me this morning, you never thought you'd go to Ghana alone. like that. I told him, God, I never thought you'd go alone either. But the point is, you know, Bob Williams got me interested in going to Ghana. He also got Don interested in going to Ghana. You know, there has to be that continuing on in some form or fashion. The saddest thing I've ever seen in congregations is when they lose that worldwide perspective. They don't support anything for foreign missions. They cannot share. And then if you want your kids to see how big and powerful that gospel is, so when they leave and go to college, they hang on to it with all their heart, you need to show that the gospel's huge, that it can go into China, it can go into Russia, it could secretly work its way into Iran and places where you never thought it would be possible. You have to show that it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And if we're unwilling to carry that torch, then shame on us. It's going to come back to haunt us. So there's a position open for that. If you have an interest in being involved in those things, go sign your name up on the sheet. The elders want to know what you're thinking so that they can plan for the future. Isn't that right, Tim? See? Right there. It's already confirmed. There's also regional missions too. You might be saying, well, I don't know if I want to go overseas or something. Well, then look at regional missions. An evangelist must be willing to participate with the other congregations from his region. The same way that you and I are not islands to ourselves, our congregation is not an island to herself. We're not. You know, there are congregations of the Lord's church meeting all over the world. You know, there are Christians going to sleep right now who already worshiped on the Lord's day. And our worship is joining up in heaven at the same time in the realm of timelessness. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. And we have to be willing, with respect to autonomy, to go and be an encouragement, to be willing to evangelize and help other congregations do the same. We have to be. If they want help, we need to give help. And there is a need in the work of an evangelist to be a team player with the area congregations for which he resides. And I hope that I've lived up to that expectation. You know, I never wanted to be somebody who said, okay, I'm just going to do stuff here. You know, there are Christians right now who are meeting in other churches that have actually led to Christ. You know, they never ever had a chance of coming here. But there was a chance to lead them to Christ, connect them with the local body. And those things are very, very important. We need to be working together. We can't be like some of the congregations out there that we're isolationists. We don't do anything with anybody. Well, they're not going to like heaven. They're simply not going to like heaven. I had called, when I first came here, and Dave Smith will remember that. Is he here this morning? I thought I saw his head. Oh, there you are. You remember all the traveling we did to all those congregations? We had a blast, man. We did at least one road trip a month on a Sunday night. And we got to know a lot of the congregations. There was this one congregation that's kind of an ante. And I had called that congregation. I just called and said, hey, I'm a new preacher here. I want to stop by on a Sunday night. I want to know what time the Sunday night services are. And this group was like really isolationist. And the preacher said to me, well, we don't need any liberals coming in like that. I said, yeah. He said, well, you can come, but you say hi and you say bye. Don't infect any of our members. And I said, well, okay, I'll try to work that into my schedule like that. That church today is virtually gone. If you want your youth to grow up strong, you have to expose them to the broad array of the churches in the area. You know, a lot of times, you know, a congregation may not have a lot of youth within there, but you take them to youth rallies, you involve them in things, they now see so much going on. And I hope that I've lived up to that expectation. When I was interviewed for the job 15 years ago, when they told me that I only had to do the first two Sunday evening sermons of the month, and I asked them, is it okay then if I can go visit other congregations on one of those Sundays in a month? And I'm glad I did. You know, later on, you remember a few years back, we had six pulpit swaps for the year, where I got to even meet them more and they got to know you more. And those type of things help the church work together. And that is part of being an evangelist. And guess what? That was true in the first century church. Acts 16:5. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. There were people who just didn't say, okay, I'm going to be here, but they'd be involved. You know, it used to be a time and a place in our country where if there was a gospel meeting somewhere nearby, you would go to that. If there was some sort of a marriage seminar or something, you would go to that. Those days are not happening now. And we have to allow our presence to be interactive with other people we're going to be sharing heaven with. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 11:28, apart from such external things, there is daily pressure of me of concern for all the churches. We're just not concerned about how it goes here. We also need to be concerned about the kingdom of God overall. And so, there's an opening. There is an opening. Let's read the ad. There's a few openings. The Canfield Church of Christ is looking for a teacher to continue the work of the church for the people of Newport Episcopal Commons Home in Newport, Pennsylvania. You know, Jason Kroll, a lot of you might remember Jason. When I first came here, Jason was a young man that was born with spina bifida, and he would sit back there. And, you know, within the first 6 months after me being there, I'm thinking, you know, this young man comes all the way from Newport to come here to worship. And he's in a wheelchair. So we decided we would go up there and do a small home group Bible study in this Episcopal Commons. And from there, it grew and it grew. We've led other people to Christ. Now, Jason has been gone now for 10 years, I think, maybe a little bit longer. Yeah, 2005, I think, is might have been when he went, or 2006. But the point being is we have made over 600 trips up there on Tuesday mornings. And we have people, you know, people like Mike Peterson, a brother who cannot drive himself, that he goes up there with us, Roland Williams. We have a young man named Seth, who's deaf, that we're trying to lead to Christ, and Lisa even signs for him. And so the duties involve teaching a weekly Bible class for up to 10 people every Tuesday at 10 a.m. If you have interest in this position, write your name on that list and let me know. Even if you don't want to teach, if you just want to go up, still be involved with that. I like to think that that work would continue since there are still Christians up there. And they're joining us. So two of them are watching this morning. And so that's one position. Oh, look, there's another position for regional missions. The men's monthly leadership meeting administrator. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is looking for a man or men to be the administrator or administrators over the monthly men's church leadership meeting at the church building. Once a month on Fridays, okay, at 10 a.m., we have a regional meeting where men come from other congregations, men who who are used to be just preachers and elders, but we also have some deacons that come, and we have men who are training to be preachers and men who want to be involved in leadership. It's a great meeting. We need someone who'd be willing to set up the refreshments, send the email out, you know, with the update. I can give you that list to spearhead the topics. That's a great need. And we have people that come all the way from West Virginia for that. And it would be good if that would continue. It's the only meeting we really have in this particular part of the state. They come from Lewistown. They used to come from State College. They come all the way from sometimes Philadelphia. Sometimes they come all the way from Altoona. And so it's a good time to be involved in other people's lives. Please contact one of the elders if interested in this position, or you can contact me. Sign up if you would like to do that. Oh, there's another position open up too. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is looking for a man or men willing to nurture relationships with regional congregations. Duties involved occasional phone calls and area travel. Please contact me or the elders if you are interested. Sign your name up on the sheet. If you, Dave, you'd be okay to go on a few more road trips, wouldn't you? Dave loves that. Maybe you ought to sign up for that and get a couple other people to do that. We had some great road trips. I'll miss that, Dave. If you come down to Waco, I'll take you. Just get some cowboy boots and I'll take you out on a road trip there, okay? Then there's local missions. Local missions. This is the true test of an evangelist's service. Is he willing to share the gospel with those in his immediate community? Is he willing to keep evangelism at the forefront of his own congregation? Is he willing to reach out to his own members, friends, and relatives? And I pray that I've always kept this as a priority. Now, there are some openings for this as well. Over the years, I've been the point of contact for over 100 people who would give me a call and say, hey, I have somebody who I want to try and lead to Christ. And we've collaborated on it. With my departure, someone or some people in the church are going to have to step up and to be a catalyst for this labor. There is an open position. The Camp Hill Church of Christ is seeking. I misspelled that. That's okay. For people who are willing to assist in sharing the gospel message with others of the community. Those interested, contact Doug Hamilton for further details. Put your name down. Zimmerman, I expect you to put your name on that one. Okay? But it can't just be him. You have to sign up. You got to help the elders. Let them know what's on your heart, where you're willing to serve. In closing on this lesson, I'll cover three other areas. So there's a lot of other opportunities. In closing, though, of this lesson, it's called the classifieds because there will be classified ads put up there. And there's enough duty for everyone. It's about doing the work of an evangelist. If you don't have one, then you still have to do the work of an evangelist as a congregation if you're going to thrive. All of these ads from this week will be in the back, and if you have an interest in a particular task, simply write your name on that paper, and you will be caught. Don't write it sloppy. Write it nice. There's a pen on each one. There's plenty of pens, and every week there'll be more put up there. There'll be an arrayment of different things. If my departure, you know, when it's complete, when I leave, my last Sunday, the 26th of February, and those positions aren't filled, if somebody has not assumed responsibility for them, I want to make sure when you walk by and you see a blank sheet of paper, when you look over there, if those aren't filled, those are ministries which will come to an end. And that would be sad if it's not their time yet. I don't mean to sound negative. I'm trying to help encourage you to do the work of an evangelist. It's more than just preaching. That's just a tiny part. And I'm going to be doing the same things down there that I was doing here, only on a different level. The decision has been made what's going to happen for the near future. You can step up. You can make a difference. You could outwork me. Don't worry. Because there's more of you than there is of me. And so, please, please, I beg you, keep the wheels turning here.